the added value of employees who have autism.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A global business software company has just announced a push to hire people with autism. SAP of Germany is trying for 1% of its workforce of 64,000 people. That would mean bringing in about 600 people with a developmental condition that, among other things, can impair a person's ability to interact with others. Anke Wittenberg is SAP's Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer. She joins us from Frankfurt, Germany. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, SAP did a pilot project involving autistic employees in India. What did you find?
So people with autism are extremely good at repetitive tasks to do them with a high concentration level. But the other thing that was also just important for us is that we have seen a very, very positive shift in the culture of the team. So people with autism, they do not understand sarcasm. They always speak the truth, and they need a clear and precise communication. Well, guess what? The entire team really liked that. So what we've seen is that the employee engagement has gone up, but we also seen that the turnover rate has gone down and the productivity from the entire team has gone up.
Fascinating. Now, some people with autism might not fare especially well in a standard job interview. How are you going to find the best people?
So we are not the specialists. So what we said is we need a very strong partner, which is a Danish company called Specialisterne. And Specialisterne has been founded by a father of an autistic kid. His name is Torkil Sonne. And Specialisterne is helping us now to recruit. They're also doing the assessment centers. But in the onboarding phase, they're also helping us to really get a good onboarding for the people with autism, but also for the team that is involved here.
Anke Wittenberg is Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at SAP, based in Frankfurt. Anke, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now on to the best job on earth. Incoming head of the Internal Revenue Service amid the scandal over targeting conservative groups and being the chief tax man in general. And who is Daniel Werfel, and why would he want this job? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
You have to understand one thing about Daniel Werfel, known as Danny to his friends.
I have never seen Danny able to turn down a challenge that was offered him, even though that might have been his inclination.
That's Robert Shea. He's known Werfel since 2002, when they worked together at the Office of Management and Budget. Werfel's last job was at the OMB, helping manage the budget cuts from sequestration. In 2011, he helped prepare for the possibility of a government shutdown. Yes, he does like a challenge. Max Steyer is president of the Partnership for Public Service and has also worked closely with Werfel. He says Werfel will have to ask some tough questions.
What kind of culture do we need in the IRS to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen again?
Steyer says Werfel will have to restore public trust in the IRS and rein in rogue agents, all in the space of a few months. His appointment only lasts through September. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The Obama administration is thinking about selling off the Tennessee Valley Authority, the vast Depression-era project that modernized that region. This came as news even to TVA executives when the White House released its budget last month. Yesterday, the TVA met face-to-face with administration officials for the first time. WPLN's Blake Farmer reports from Nashville.
TVA is the thing of newsreels, an agency that traces its origins back to the Great Depression.
Under the leadership of President Roosevelt, Congress created the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Hydroelectric dams were built, then coal plants and nuclear. The utility serves seven states and was conceived as a way to develop an impoverished region. But now the Obama administration suggests TVA is among the federal agencies that have, quote, achieved their original objectives.
Were you consulted?
Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander has been quizzing Energy Department officials anytime they appear before him, including the acting Energy Secretary.
TVA does not fall under the...
So you weren't.
There's no firm plan to sell TVA, only for a strategic review that could result in privatization. That very idea, though, has done some damage, according to the agency. The value of TVA's bonds has dropped sharply. There's doubt the sale price would even cover TVA's $25 billion of debt, and traders fear TVA may not be viable as a private company. TVA is fully self-supported through electric rates, and it has national security roles as the country's sole source for tritium needed in developing nuclear weapons. Senator Alexander says the administration should forget the sale.
I think there's somebody with the green eye shade down there in the Office of Management and Budget who just thinks it's a cool idea to talk about selling the Tennessee Valley Authority, and we don't appreciate that approach.
TVA officials have said the current business model is a good one, but Joe Hoagland, Senior Vice President of Policy, says they've committed to cooperating with the White House in good faith.
I mean, I would assume they were serious since they put it in the administration's budget.
TVA is celebrating its 80th birthday this week. The meetings in Washington may give a clue as to how many birthdays the utility has left. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And sometimes a 140-character tweet is too ridiculously short to express an idea, but sometimes it's perfectly sufficient. Here, in just 66 characters. Ready? A Seattle butcher is feeding marijuana to pigs to make pot bacon. I can even add, that's just not right, and it still easily fits in a tweet. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.